Dear faithful, today is the Feast of All Saints. Tomorrow is All Souls Day. Masses will be here in Melville at 6:30 a.m., 11 a.m., and 7 p.m. Masses at Oyster Bay will be at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Please see the sign in the vestibule for a complete list of the indulgences you can gain for the poor souls, not only tomorrow, but during the month of November. The epistle for the Mass is taken from the Apocalypse of St. John, chapter 7. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the sign of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we sign the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were signed, 144,000 were signed, of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Aser, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 signed. After this I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the ancients, and the four living creatures. And they fell down before the throne upon their faces, and adored God, saying, Amen. Benediction, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, honor, and power, and strength, to our God forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel. It is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. At that time Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain, and when he was sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you, and speak all that is evil against you untruly for my sake. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. I saw a great multitude which no man could number, standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. These words are taken from the Epistle of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, I'd like to tell you a story this morning about a man by the name of Hans Klatt. Hans Klatt was from Switzerland, and he was a master craftsman who spent his life working with ivory. He was known in particular for his ability to fashion finely carved flowers, which he later turned into pieces of jewelry. And one day a wealthy lady from America came to his shop, high in the Alps, and she purchased several items for her daughters. The lady was in awe at the workmanship, and she couldn't help exclaiming that the delicate ivory flowers were so perfect that they seemed to be real. No, madam, the old man replied, They are not perfect. I wish I could make just one perfect flower. For 30 years I have tried to make a flower as God did, but something is always missing when I compare my work to nature. Buddy concluded, I have honestly tried, and I think it's worthwhile to give one's life trying to make a perfect thing. The mother brought the jewelry home to her daughters, and she tried her best to give them the message and the spirit of the man who had made them. And years later, one of these daughters, who was known as an ideal wife and mother, was asked the secret of her patience and her love and her happiness. And by way of answer, she pointed to a small ivory lily that she wore about her neck and quoted Hans Klatt, "It is worthwhile giving one's life to make a perfect thing." And she added, through the years, that statement has been a challenge. I don't know if I can be a perfect mother or if I can raise perfect children, but I can try for that. Like the man who made this necklace, I want to give my time and talent to making a beautiful life, as perfect a life as possible. And I hope that God will be pleased with my efforts. Now today, my dear faithful, we are celebrating the feast of all those blessed souls in heaven who spent their lives trying to make the most perfect life possible, a life in conformity with God's will. I think sometimes people are a little unsure exactly what it means to be a saint. Of course, when we use the word saint, we usually mean someone who has been canonized by the church. But sanctity in the broad sense is defined by one bishop as the fervent surrender of oneself to God and the practice of virtue. That is, sanctity or holiness is the perfect surrender of ourselves to God's will, loving what he loves and shunning what he hates. And sanctity means the habitual practice of virtue in all places and all times. And sanctity, of course, is not for a chosen few. It would actually be an insult to God's goodness to say that he is only calling a few of us to great holiness. No one was created to be mediocre. No one has to be that way. At every moment of our lives, we can choose to unite our will to God's for love of him. And the church instituted the Feast of All Saints to remind us that there are saints in heaven from every walk of life. Wives and mothers and husbands and fathers and kings and the poor and priests, lay people, the innocent, and the penitent. They're all there. In the Epistle for the Mass, St. John says that he saw a great multitude, which no man could number, standing before the throne of the Lamb. And if we strive each day to do what is most perfect at any given moment, we will be there with them. Holiness can be hard, but it's not complicated. Nor is it any mystery why many, even among Catholics, fail to attain great holiness. If we were to analyze a collection of mediocre souls, we could divide them into two categories, the young and the old. The young remain lukewarm because they believe there will be time later to strive for holiness. old remain lukewarm because they think it's too late to try for holiness. Immediately after our Lord redeemed mankind by his death on the cross, there was an emergency meeting called in hell to discuss how to deal with the problem of man's redemption. And Lucifer called his three closest advisor demons and asked for suggestions. How will we keep Catholics from saving their souls? Send me, said one. I will tell them that there is no God. I will destroy their faith. That's ridiculous, said Lucifer. They know there's a God. They would never believe you. Well, send me, said the second. I will tell them there is no hell. That's better, responded the devil, but they might still hope for heaven. That would ruin everything. Send me, said the third. I will tell them there is no hurry. There is time later to practice virtue and time later to become holy. And then when they have become old, I will tempt them with a new idea, that there is no time, no point in trying to become a saint because they have failed. And then when death is close, we can use our favorite weapon, despair. Then we have them. And that demon was sent out into the world, and he is doing a good job. Don't waste a day in trying to become a saint. And don't ever think that it is too late to become one. On Good Friday, another man was crucified beside our Lord, and he hung there for 3 hours. And in that time, he learned to unite his will to God's, to ask pardon for his sins, and to accept suffering as a just punishment. And now, he is Saint Dismas in heaven. His sanctification took 3 hours and fervent love. Whether you are young or old, begin today and begin again every day. Whatever you have to do, the duty of the present moment, you do it as well as you can. You offer it to God. If it's your homework, your housework, the duties of the workplace, just the prayers you're saying, whatever you're doing, do it well and don't be satisfied with second best. It is worthwhile to give one's life trying to make a perfect thing. And finally, do not become discouraged at your faults or sins. In the words of St. Francis de Sales, it is not those who commit the least faults who are most holy, but those who have the greatest courage, the greatest generosity, and the greatest love, who make the boldest efforts at overcoming themselves, and who are not immediately afraid of falling. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.